A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 18, 1986, entitled, The Feeling That Remains When the Concept Fails. The scripture readings are Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, and Acts 2, verses 22 through 36. The text for the sermon is Acts 2, verse 28, and 32 through 33. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The meditation this morning is entitled, The Feeling That Remains When or Where the Concept Fails. That's a strange title. I apologize for it. It's a rather silly title, but I took it out of a book. And it does say something, if you'll bear with me. I want to point to the mystery of God who reveals himself to us, the God who comes to us and gives himself to us, but the God that is not at our disposal. There is a very deep compulsion within us to be able to unravel every mystery. Nonetheless, the mystery of God. We would love to be able somehow or other to reduce him to rational categories. We would love to be able to conceptualize God, because what we can conceptualize, we can control. We would like to be able to explain God, because what we can explain, we can control and manipulate. But Pentecost is the day in which we know that God gives himself to us, but it is the gift of his grace. He lifts the veil. He creates the rift in the sky. He gives us the insight of faith, but it is his gift. It is all of grace. It is none of our doing, for the knowledge of God is beyond our human capacity. When we have a sense of God, an experience of God, it is the feeling that remains where the concept has failed. That's hard for us to swallow. The history of the church is a history of the endeavor to define God, to explain God, to set forth his attributes, to speak of his nature, to tell one how one may come into relationship with him. The history of theology is a history of reflection on experience, but it is always reflection on experience. It is always one step removed from the reality, and the reality is not at our disposal. God reveals himself, but we cannot grasp him. We cannot get hold of him. We cannot determine that we will have an experience of him. It is of his grace that he gives himself to us. David obviously had that experience. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. He has shown me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. And Peter, referring to that psalm in his Pentecost sermon, points to the reality of the experience of God, which he attributes wholly to what God has done in Christ. I love the New English rendering of that statement of Peter, that Jesus we speak of has been raised by God, as we can all bear witness. Exalted thus with God's right hand, he received the Holy Spirit from the Father, as was promised, and all that you now see and hear flows from him. Pentecost is the day in which we seek to place ourselves in the flow of the Spirit. Jesus crucified, risen, exalted to God's right hand, given by the Father the fullness of the Spirit, gives that Spirit now beyond himself to us. And Peter says, all that you now see and hear, in other words, the experience beyond human rationality, all that you now see and hear flows from him. The feeling that remains where the concept fails. How we would love to be able to reduce God to our logical categories. How we would love to be able to get him to fit into the limits of our creed. How we would like to confess our creed and think that we have grasped God. But he shatters our creeds and breaks our forms and gives himself to us in a mystery which is full of majesty, which simply cannot be contained in human language. Over the years, the church has debated who God is. We have condemned one another and judged one another and excommunicated one another, and we've started our own denominations and gone our separate ways, all of us convinced that we had finally the last insight into the truth of God, when as a matter of fact, all of us has the smallest glimpse into the truth of God, and anyone who has experienced the least bit of the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ is brother and sister to us all. We would love to be able to reduce God to an intellectual concept. But he breaks our concepts and then gives himself to us in a bestowal of grace that overwhelms us and transforms us, changing our lives. That which we cannot get hold of, he offers to us, and in the bestowal of himself, renews us and transforms us. Where the concept fails, there is a surplus of meaning that remains, and that is the experience of God. Our concepts are poverty stricken. For example, in this past week, my grandson, who will be 4 in July, said to his mother in those moments of reflection just before bedtime, "Will I die?" She said, "Yes, we will all die sometime." "Will you die?" "Yes, sometime I will die too." "Where will I go?" "To heaven." "Who will be there?" "Jesus." "Where is heaven?" Now, of course, the child's question begins to make the adult squirm, for the concepts are failing. One knows that the ascension doesn't mean up, but what does one say to a 4-year-old almost? "The sky." "Jesus will be there?" "Yes." "Will God be there?" "Yes." "What if I don't like those guys?" The concept fails. How do you tell a child? How do you tell an adult? How do you get your hands around an experience? How do you explain the moment of ecstasy, the moment of insight, the breakthrough, the moment of revelation? How do you label that which takes you out of yourself and transcends all of the concepts by which we communicate the ordinary experience of life? The concept fails. Something remains. And that is the gift of God. Where the concept fails, the feeling remains. And we know that He has given Himself to us. On Pentecost, we celebrate the God who does reveal Himself, who does give Himself to us. And if one's life has been so encountered, and if one has thus experienced God, one's life is changed. Erich Fromm, who wrote so profoundly on human experience, is terribly disappointing in these words from his book, Man for Himself. He wrote, "There is only one solution to his problem, the human problem, to face the truth, to acknowledge his fundamental aloneness in a universe indifferent to his fate, to recognize that there is no power transcending him which can solve his problem for him." So writes this profound prober of the human psyche. But Dag Hammarskjöld, that worldly saint who headed the United Nations some years ago until he was tragically killed in an airplane accident, he spoke of his encounter with precisely that transcendent power. He wrote in his diary entitled Markings, "I don't know who or what put the question. I don't know when it was put. I don't even remember answering. But at that moment I did answer yes to someone or something. And from that hour I was certain that existence is meaningful and that therefore my life in self-surrender has had a goal." He also wrote, "God does not die on the day we cease to believe in a personal deity, but we die on the day when our lives cease to be illumined by the steady radiance, renewed daily, of a wonder the source of which is beyond all reason." And he prayed this, as recorded in his diary, "Give us a pure heart that we may see Thee, a humble heart that we may hear Thee, a heart of love that we may serve Thee, a heart of faith that we may live Thee. Thou whom I do not know, but whose I am. Thou whom I do not comprehend, but who has dedicated me to my fate. Thou. Thou." I like the reticence, the humility, and the certainty. Thou who hast given thyself to me. Thou. The remainder when the concept breaks down. Thanks be to God, who has revealed to us His glory in the face of Jesus Christ and dwells within us in the Spirit of Jesus. We have a creed. It confesses all that we know and believe, and we affirm it joyfully, knowing that beyond the creed is the Christ of the God, who is beyond our knowing, but ours in whom to rest. Thanks be to God.